It's time for JT the Brick on Fox Sports Vegas.
So here we go with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hey, since Christmas, it's a whole different team.
We're just playing strong defensive hockey.
This team is playing at a very high level.
Knights win their sixth in a row.
They prove that they're a playoff team.
Feeds Tuck in front, he shoots, he scores! Alex Tuck wins it!
I'd be pretty happy as a Vegas Golden Knight fan.
I'm all in, brother.
And for Gallant, I think he's pretty happy.
Yeah, real happy.
Way to go, Golden Knights. I mean, what a run. What a run they've been on.
Carlson scores from the left wing!
The radio show's priority is the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm all in, brother.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, hour number two of the show, JT Vegas, home of the Raider Nation talk and the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. Tomorrow night, we are inside the fortress, hosting the show from the perch of Dan Duva in the building. And we are loaded up. Gary Lawless will open the show. Tony Sanchez, head coach of UNLV football. We're working on a Vegas Golden Knight player to join us and a lot more. Steph McKenzie's in studio with me.
You fancy.
You are something because I wanted to get you on the radio here for quite some time. On the other side, what you do, we'll get to that in a second. You go on with Granny and Clay from time to time.
Correct.
I hear you in the morning, but your connection to this town with the Raiders is real.
I am out of control, freaking out. Now, I got to back up a little bit, though, okay. if you give me a minute. JTU, I am just in awe sitting here with you. You are, in the broadcast world, we are honored to be, we don't give enough props to each other, I don't think. And you are behind the shield, the Raider person to go to. I've been watching you. I love your work and I'm honored to be here. And thank you for asking me because I do. At first, when the Raiders were announcing they were coming to this town, it was, I didn't love it at first.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I love the town of Oakland. I love them being there. I loved them in LA. I loved them when they moved to Oakland. I've gone everywhere with them that my pocketbook will allow from year after year. It's been a lot of years. But it was surreal, and now I've embraced it, and I love it. The reason I was upset about it was because I've been a hockey fan my whole life too, born and raised in Minot, North Dakota, and the Canadian roots.
Right.
So I got hockey, right? Everybody wants to be a bigger fan than somebody else. Can't we all just be fans? Can't somebody just like them? Can't we just get along that way? Oh, sure, you're a Raider fan. Now everybody wants to be a Raider fan. People that were talking trash about the Raiders years ago, now they want to be a Raider fan.
Well, you're unique because you're a real Raider fan in Vegas. You've been waiting here the whole time. So if they didn't come here, you were going to continue to go up to Oakland and you would love
it. Absolutely. We went last year, yeah.
Yeah, I've been commuting to Oakland for 19 years.
That's amazing.
10 of them from here, almost 10 from LA, and knowing the diehard fans. For me, it was easy to become a Vegas Golden Knight fan because it was a clean break because it was an expansion inaugural team. It was easy because you didn't have to give up your other team. You could easily because they were brand new. For the Raiders, and you have a really big morning show, and when you talk about, and you talk to Raider fans on your show, what are you sensing? The break is, there's Kansas City fans, there's Charger fans. What are they telling you?
Well, at first people were like, they were freaking out that I wasn't taking it in right away because they were taking it in. They're like, oh, I get to see my team. But I said to them, think about if your team was ripped from the city that you had been seeing them for so long. And they were like, oh, yeah. Then they were like, I get that. But they love it. Everyone is loving it. It's getting closer. I think the Vegas Golden Knights obviously are really helping that. Everyone's,
yes,
the
absolutely.
Aviators opening up tomorrow.
Can
you
believe that ballpark? Oh. I mean, when they come back and open that ballpark, I just bought a brick with my name on it there. I'm excited.
Of course you did.
I could
so
walk.
Cute.
I'll probably bicycle over there, but I'm excited. But your passion for sports is real.
It is.
And when did this Raider thing come about? When you were a little girl? Like, how did you first see the colors of the silver and black and say, this is my team?
Well, don't pitchfork me for this. If you ask my brother, he'll tell you I was always a Dallas Cowboy fan because I wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader.
Okay.
So he said I flipped at about 7 or 8 is what he's saying. We moved to Vegas. I grew up here in junior high and high school. And my parents at that time, when you start to like really want to shake your kids, right? Because they're starting to get a little independence.
Right.
So my parents were on me the whole time. And they said to me before we had even gone to LA, because I have family in LA, we drove once a month. If you don't commit to something, you are going to be nothing. So commit to excellence and be great in your life, Steph.
Commit to excellence.
I drove.
Wow.
I'll
Al Davis
that.
Is commit. You remember that like it was yesterday.
It was like this thing. Like my dad just, woo, And so it didn't register, right? Oh, yeah, whatever, Dad, boo, la, 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 nah, nah, nah. We drive to L.A., and I freak out. I freak out.
Wow, this is a cool story.
I freak out. I see the billboard, and I'm like, I love the Raiders, and I'm a Raider fan. And my mom was like, okay, if that's what you want to do, then we are behind you.
And you've been through the good years and the rough years. It's been rough for a number of years.
It has.
And I really think it's turning the corner for John Gruden, the stadium, the facility in Henderson. Talk about how this whole town now is understanding what's about to happen with the NFL coming here.
I think that with the NFL coming here, the town, again, I keep going back to the Vegas Golden Knights because I think that that's really, really helping us. Raider fans through and through were Raider fans, so we embraced it, or we've really come to really embrace it, like myself. And I think that we're seeing that sports is no joke anymore. This isn't just a betting town, right? Especially for locals.
Yeah.
Like, we want to be more than just a betting town or Sin City. We like it. But we really are embracing the sports arena.
Yeah, and I really believe that the Raiders are going to elevate everything here because the NFL is different. The Golden Knights, we got the biggest gift from sports gods we could ever get. We got
We're teaching people about practice, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't know yet. You would know more about this because I haven't heard. It's always been closed for the Raiders, which I love that we are that fancy. I know I use that word a lot, but I love it. We're that fancy. We take pride in that practice. They don't let a lot of people in. You know this. You've been going there.
I go to a lot of practices.
So are they going to be doing that now?
I think they're going to do a lot more with what they do up in Napa when they open up practice to Napa. But, you know, when you get into an NFL season, it's very different. There'll be opportunities for the fans to see the Raiders, I hope, eventually behind closed doors. But an NFL team's different than a morning skate when it comes to hockey.
Absolutely, and I think that that's where we need to remember as a fan and teach people in this town, NFL, NHL, they are different.
Totally two different sports. All right, we're going to give away a pair of tickets. Steph, you're going to be the judge.
Okay.
Because I go crazy about calls. I want better calls. I love calls, and I want to hear people that have something to say. Jeff, start us off. We're giving away a pair. What do you got?
Playoff hockey on the horizon.
We know that. What do you got to say? All right, Jeff.
Just wanted to get your thoughts on what you feel the chance.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I used to say, Tom, back in the day.
Yeah, now he's just bye.
You know, Steph, the show is going to do really well in this 4-6 slot. Because I have to do it all with Bobby. I want these people to learn to call in and run me over like a Mack truck.
You have to
disagree with me. Interrupt me. Get in my face. I don't care about
that. Unless you're a Bronco fan, you cannot call.
Yes. Again, we're giving away a pair of tickets. Or I'm just going to give them to Steph, who came in and sat in here. 876-1340. Daryl, you're up next on the flagship. Go ahead. Daryl,
I tell you what, Golden Knights, man. For the second year in a row, to get into the playoffs, it's exciting. I have become a hockey fan since I moved here in Vegas about 5 years ago. And I followed them all last year. And for them to win the Pacific Division and then get into the conference and then get into the Stanley Cup, to even get into the Stanley Cup, would have been nice if they won it. But I think they have a chance this year. I believe that they have a chance this year to get that Stanley Cup. You know what I mean?
Well,
last year they had 109 points.
Wow, he's giving us
points.
He's giving us the points. He's coming on.
They took it all the way to the Stanley Cup. And for them to even get into the playoffs with 93 points and still playing with two more games to go, shoot, I believe they can get this Stanley Cup.
He stepped up from the first caller.
Well, he also gave us numbers, which I like.
I'll give you a little trivia, too, that you can use from time to time. My grandfather's name is on the Stanley Cup twice, once for the Edmonton Maroons and once for the Chicago Blackhawks in 1936-37. He was swinging Bill McKenzie. And the Blackhawks and the jersey and the mementos that we have, it was Blackhawks, not one word.
That's an incredible moment. So your grandfather on the Stanley Cup twice, and as they take the names off, because now it's getting bigger and bigger, you'll be a part of that history forever. That's incredible. That's a really good legacy play for you in sports.
And the Blues is a big rival for us.
Oh,
so
no
went to that
it.
Game. Love that game.
There you go. 876-1340. Andy, you're up on the Vegas Golden Knight flagship. Go ahead.
Hi, JT. How you doing?
Doing well.
Let me start by saying,
first of all, happy birthday to your wife today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Second of all, I think we're in a great position right now. Everybody's all over Subban about not being the goalie, stepping up. He did exactly what he needed to do. He got some experience in, and he gave Fleury a huge rest and huge time away to be with his family and to get ready for this playoff push that they are ready for. I think Gallant's done a great job with rotating his guys in to get guys healthy, get guys that are nicked up some time off so they can get ready for this playoff push, because it's going to be a really physical, great series with the Sharks.
I think he should have gone to Colorado. I think Fleury should have flown to Colorado.
You think he should have won? Yeah. Thanks for the call.
It's a
two-hour
flight. Come on, Fleury. I love you, man. I'm totally a Fleury fan.
You've been talking on your show about Fleury and all this time off, right? The baby and all this and wink, wink. Why he's taking extra time.
We have kids. We get it.
We have kids, the whole thing. Look, I get it. He gets a pass on this. If this was the playoffs, he would have been playing. He's 100%. He'll be ready to go. But what concerns me, Steph, is he's got to flip the switch. And he's won three cups. I think he's probably the only guy you can give the benefit of the doubt to and say, Fleury's going to be great. He'll be great game one in San Jose. Because the rest of these games don't mean much. He's going to have to flip the switch.
I agree with you on that one, but I think that he should get... I think you still need to keep it going. You get a little rusty, right? That's why they say those 2 weeks in between before the Super Bowl, you always worry about your team. They could be great, and then you're like, oh, what's going
to
happen now?
And you nailed that, because in hockey, you have to be ready game one.
You have
on the road. And I'm going to give Fleury the benefit of the doubt. I think he'll be able to do that. Johnny, thanks for checking in. You're up next for the Knights tickets. What do you got?
Hey, JT, I don't know if they've got enough depth. I love them, but defensively, I just don't think they have it defensively. And I don't know if they're going to get past the first round.
Well, that seems to be a question on that. You don't like it. They picked up, and again, they had a signing here for a young defenseman. We'll have the sound from Gallant a little bit later on in the show. But are you concerned about England? Because Schmidt will be at full force. He'll be going from one end to the other. Schmidt's going to have a great series because San Jose has two of the best defensemen in hockey.
I agree. They have to make their transition game, they've got to make their transition game seamless for them to go far, because if Fleury isn't right, if he doesn't, God forbid he gets hurt, Subban can't do it. I hate to say it. I love the kid, but he can't do it.
I would agree. Thanks for the call.
Too.
Tomorrow night, we're inside the fortress. Subban's played a lot here over the last couple of weeks for obvious reasons, and he's done okay, and he plays well at home. But to put him in that shark tank in San Jose if they had to, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I think Fleury will be fine.
Big bite.
It's a tough place to play.
I think it's a tough place to play, and I also think that with those guys, they go down, they go up, they go down. We haven't seen consistency in anything. Had they lost on Monday night, that would have been embarrassing for us, especially going into the playoffs.
One other thing on San Jose, too, Steph. I say this all the time. Steph McKenzie joins us in studio. They're the franchise that hates us the most.
Right.
Because they don't have in Silicon Valley and San Jose, in that area, what we have. They don't have bottle service, pool parties. They don't have gambling. They don't have all that, the lights, the pregame show. And we came into the league, because I'm a fan of the team, even though we cover it, that when this team came into the league, it blew out everything they're doing in L.A., San Jose,
it blew everyone
Edmonton,
away.
Calgary, because they're saying, we can't manufacture that energy in our town.
Well, and remember a few years back, people were coming after the NHL. They're like, why do you keep hockey in the western states?
Right, you're
right. It's hot. The people aren't supporting it. That's not where hockey needs to be. Keep it back up in the north. So for Vegas to come in and really bring NHL back to the top, that's pretty cool.
Hockey and NFL, we got to come up with a Raider nickname for you. So we'll figure that out. Not now. We got plenty of time to do that as we wrap it up here. We'll get to Ken. Ken, you're on the flagship. We're giving away a pair of tickets. Go.
Yes, JT. What's up, Steph?
Hey.
I need a big go Knights go. I am so excited to take on the San Jose Sharks. Louis is going to be completely healthy. I'm not even stressed out about that. All I want to see is Ryan Reeves lay out Evander Kane. Kane is a punk. I don't care that we don't have home ice advantage. We're going to split them on the first two games, and then we're just going to gently push them off into golf season. Not even worried about it. I am so psyched for this playoff.
Thanks a lot. I wish your phone was a little bit better because he was good. I want to wrap it up because we're having Russell Baxter coming up. You're going to stay through that. We'll connect with you again at the bottom of the hour. Your passion for the Raiders. So every time I see you when I come off a road trip with the team, I come in here over the years.
I'm
you're always grabbing
you.
You're saying, hey, what's up with the team? How are we doing? You're all in on this Gruden thing now. You're all in on Oakland
so
coming
excited.
To Vegas. And now you could be the Raider fan. You were, to me, the first big personality Raider fan in this town talking
Thank
about
you.
This team. And then when they announced it, what went through your mind?
Oh, I was scared. Honestly, I was scared a little bit. I'm like, are we going to be able to give it the love is the are people going to understand what the NFL really is all about? Because the NHL, again, and the NFL are two totally different entities. And so when the NFL comes here, I just want everyone to realize that it's different, but it's still that amazing. And the Raiders have been in town for a few years doing great charity work and backing this city, which they're not getting the notoriety. They're taking that backseat to the Vegas Golden Knights right now, which is fine. A lot of things have happened, but it's going to be amazing. And if people embrace it, and especially not just the Raider fans, but this town, we are going
to
kill it.
You know, and I know what the Raiders do in regards to their foundation.
Absolutely.
And their charity work.
Yes.
Al Davis, Carol Davis, Mark Davis, how much they give back. I think when this town sees this, all of Southern Nevada, the entire state, and the Raider fans that come in are going to know this in advance, but everybody in Vegas, that's what we're trying to do on the radio with the alumni and putting on all the legends to try to help educate the city on what's coming. Because when you see the power of this brand globally, I've seen them in London, overseas, Mexico City. The fans here are so rabid that I think the Oakland fans, who were bitter for a while on this, the edge is starting
There's
to come
There's a division.
Off.
There's a big division right now going on. You and I know this. And I've met tons of fans over the years in all states. I've traveled to different states where we've gone. And I've stayed in touch with them because we've become family.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you go to tailgates and parties and stuff like that. But there is a big division. And I hope those people that are haters. I heard a good quote today. If you don't have at least two haters in your life, you're not doing it right.
And we both like to tailgate.
Yeah,
we've been both known to tailgate. Nick, wrap it up. Last chance for tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm broadcasting from the game tomorrow. Go ahead, Nick.
How's it going? I'm excited. I think Fleury, with these last two ramp-up games, he can get ready as long as he's ready game one. Everyone always talks about Ryan Reeves, but I think someone who's underrated and that will be key in the series is Will Carrier. If he can stay healthy, he puts a lot of hits, and mm-hmm. these are long series. If they're going into five, six games, every time he's on the ice, you know he's coming at you. That can affect how you play. So I think, you know, as long as the second line, you know, Paul Stastny, he went to the Western Conference Final last year against us. He has experience. If he can lead that line, if they can score, I think we have a good chance to put up a good battle, win a couple road games, and we can go deep.
I love
that
this
was
guy,
good.
Too. The battle
I love
on the
that
lines,
guy.
He's down
with it. He gives
us
specific players, the physicality. Mentioned Stastny, talks about having a split, Stastny. Get a win there. And then, on top of all this, what concerns me about this series is it starts in San Jose. The place is rabid up there. Got to get a win. Got to get a win in San Jose,
more
bring them back here.
More importantly than that, what I'm more worried about, not so much that, you know, you, of course you want to be at home, but, you know, you got to get that out of your head. That's
yep.
something that we know very well, being Raider fans. More importantly, stay in the game, Vegas Golden Knights, from the beginning to the end. They go up, they go down. It freaks me out. It gives me a heart attack. I eat a lot of Tums. I'm over that.
Do you have a Raiders dressing room in your home? You got
I
a big house that you go in. It's like Catwoman in the old Batman where you press a button and there's this like Raider room opens up.
I have Raider candy that was given to me when I was a little girl that obviously you're not going to eat now,
right.
but it's still in the bags.
Right.
I have things. Someone gave me an old Raider players bag from when they would go, you know, to their practice and everything. It wasn't even that big. I think it fit their helmet back then, which was nothing,
yeah.
right? So I have an old bag like that. I've kept everything over the years.
Steph McKenzie, 97.1 The Point, one of the biggest shows in town, one of the most successful broadcasters in town. She's going to jump in with us every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
In
thanks,
studio
JT.
As we fit you in. Stick around. Russell Baxter is going to join us next. The football guru. We'll talk to him about the Raiders and the draft coming up. Three first round picks, but remember, an early pick in the second round, so they have four right. of the first 35. And Gruden is a wizard with Mike Mayock now. They might have something up their sleeve.
I think so.
I just want them to take
big
four
shock.
Good players. We'll get into that next with the football guru, Russell Baxter, courtesy of the Henderson Hyundai Superstore, Boulder Highway in Henderson.
And this community for welcoming us, for embracing us, and for giving us a home. Your city slogan is spot on, a place to call home.
That's Mark Bedain, the president of the Raiders at the groundbreaking in Henderson. a couple of months ago. That's going up quick. The stadium looks amazing. JT, back with you, courtesy of PT's. Best happy hour in town, over 60 locations, and the Stratosphere, the all-new Stratus, it's called, Boulevard in Maine. One of the more respected NFL insiders joins us, Russell Baxter, the football guru. And Russell, you know, here in Vegas, the Raiders are a year away, but John Gruden and Mike Mayock, four of the first picks in the top 35. Anything you're hearing about what direction you think the Raiders will go in?
My guess is, well, you know, what John Gruden tried to do last year, JT, was build the defense via youth. I think he spent two or three picks on the defensive line. And, you know, we know what happened with Khalil Mack, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's the direction they would like to go on, at least early. It's a draft that seems to have a lot of pass rushers. Obviously, the Raiders could use a pass rusher, but they could use help along the defensive line altogether. They're counting on a lot of their young guys from last year. Once again, they were extremely busy this offseason with free agency and obviously a very notable trade, as we all know, very much like they were last year. But last year seemed like it was more of a revolving door, JT. I'll be curious to see what happens this season. Like last offseason, there were a lot of additions, but there were also a lot of departures. This year there's a lot of additions, but not necessarily a lot of departures. So to answer your question, I won't be surprised if John Gruden and Mike Mayock are a little busy with those latter two picks in the first round and maybe try to work their way down a little, maybe with another second-round pick. That's a lot. When you have three first-round picks and, you know, if these days you don't necessarily set. I mean, we saw the Browns a couple of years ago draft three players in the first round. But given what they have to do in terms of rebuilding the team, I wouldn't be surprised if they only wound up with two first-round picks.
Russell Baxter joins us, and that's what I wouldn't say concerns me, because if they do that, they're going to do it for the right reasons. But I think they've had so many holes over the last couple of years. With those first four picks in the top 35, they got to get four starters, period. I don't want to hear about a development guy and a guy that might take 2 years. No, if you're late in the first round or the 35th pick, you're playing, because there's been a lot of players over the last two or three years on one-year deals, just a bunch of guys. Now, with all the work they've done in the offseason, all the players that they brought in who are proven starters, Antonio Brown, Trent Brown from coming over from the Super Bowl champs, I like what they have as their core foundation. Now I want to see guys, Russell, who aren't developmental guys. Can you talk about that with the first round in general, as some teams will develop players and other teams need instant starters?
Yeah, I think it just depends on the situation you are in. And again, to me, I think the Raiders are looking to get impact guys in the first round on the defensive front. You just go back and look at what they've done in free agency, JT, in terms of this offseason. They've really brought in one defensive lineman, and that's Josh Morrow from the Giants, you know, who's kind of bounced around and so on. So I think they're kind of looking at that first round to use those picks, especially the early pick, to get an instant impact guy along the defensive front, and maybe at least two. You know, in this day and age, you know, those first-round picks signed those four-year deals with the fifth-year option. I did. The reason I bring up the second round is you can, you know, maybe save yourself a little money and get a starter in the second round, okay, on a four-year deal, and maybe not really have to re-up for him until year five when his contract expires. So, you know, we've seen that with other teams that are very, you know, very smart. And, you know, listen, I'm a great believer in this. It's not where you're picking, it's who's doing the picking. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch these two guys who obviously have shared a few draft evenings and a few draft weekends together on different sets, okay?
Yeah, great
now
point.
Now actually running the show for the Oakland Raiders. And I'll throw this out there as well, JT, and I don't know if you agree. At this time last year, I think one of the biggest problems with the Oakland Raiders was trying to figure out exactly who was running the Oakland Raiders. I think we now know who's running the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, Russell Baxter joins us, the football guru. A must follow, especially heading into the draft, at Bax Football Guru. John Gruden, the control that he has, the length of this contract proves that he's in charge. Mike Mayock did not come in there to be a guy who's going to get pushed around. He is going to have big say. He's got a great friendship and a lot of knowledge. I wanted your opinion on Derek Carr. I'm a Derek Carr fan. I think that Carr deserves an opportunity really to be elite and have an opportunity to have a better offensive game plan, coordinator, and consistency underneath him. Are you a Carr guy going forward, or do you think Gruden and Mayock are looking elsewhere?
I am a Carr guy going forward, and I think one of the problems that happened with the Raiders these last couple of years was the unexpected deterioration of the offensive line. You will remember back in 2016 when you had the big year from Ezekiel Elliott with Dallas. The conversation went back and forth, JT. Who has the best offensive line in the league? Is it the Dallas Cowboys or is it the Oakland Raiders? And the Raiders haven't been the same on that offensive line since. You know, they dealt Kelechi Osemele this offseason. Mm-hmm. They let Donald Penn go. Slowly but surely, they're bringing in new people. So for all of Derek Carr, for all of the skilled people, you know, time in and time again, you learn that you've got to be a good team in the trenches. That's why I think they gave Trent Brown that big money. It's going to be interesting to see what their game plan is. Their running game last year, we thought it was going to be Marshawn Lynch. It wound up being Doug Martin. They need to give Derek Carr some help.
Yes.
This is not the offense from a couple of years ago when he was thrown at the Crabtree and Amari Cooper. Their running game has been consistent the last 2 years, JT. 25th in 2017, 25th in 2018.
Russell, finally, I wanted to ask you, I call it the Mahomes effect. I came up with that when I talked about it off the air with Lee Steinberg, and that's his client. And I said, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, if you don't have him, he's going to beat you for the next 10 years. He looks like that super elite. And I think Gruden understands that. I think Gruden and Mayock are saying, we have Carr, we got Antonio Brown, we're going to have these four early picks, but we have got to build a franchise that can compete with Mahomes for at least a decade in Andy Reid, along with the Chargers and what Denver is doing. Let's wrap it up with Mahomes and what the AFC West is thinking as they got to compete with this kid for over a decade.
Well, there's no question about it. And it looks like Andy Reid is what he's looking to do is, and I don't know how this is going to work out for him, but I also understand what he's doing as well. I mean, this was a team last year that was dismal on defense. They needed every bit of Patrick Mahomes' 50 touchdown passes to get to win the AFC West. I mean, them and the Chargers were tied.
Yes.
At 12-4, okay? I mean, we know what the Chiefs did in terms of 565 points, which I think is third all-time in one season, but they gave up almost 27 points a game, okay? So, you know, these shootouts can only take you so far, and they didn't take the team very far. This was a team that tied for the NFL lead in sacks last year. Now, Derek E. Ford and Justin Houston are both gone. They're really kind of looking to ride Patrick Mahomes, and maybe they're looking for some help on defense. It's not like they've been dormant during free agency, but I think Andy Reid is kind of tying himself to the young quarterback, thinking that he can, you know, strike fire or strike lightning once or twice and maybe overcome some of their shortcomings on the other side of the ball. That being said, JT, they're going to a 4-3 this year with Steve Spagnuolo, and that should be pretty interesting.
Russell Baxter, go check out Football Maven. Look at everything at his website. It's right there at Bax Football Guru, profootballguru.com. Look forward to talking to Russell every couple of weeks. You know how much I value your opinion.
I appreciate that, sir. I love coming on with you.
You got it. Russell Baxter, the Pro Football Guru. Steph McKenzie joins us in studio. Diehard Raider fan. You catch her in the mornings. And, Steph, first off, let's talk about your show and your schedule now. What is this world like for you when I'm sleeping and my sons are getting up to go to high school at Bishop Gorman, both of them? I don't move. I don't hear them. And you've been on the radio now for how many years and how many hours?
I've been doing radio for a lot of years. And I've been in Las Vegas for 19 years on the radio.
What's it like getting up in the morning?
I get dressed in the dark. That's no joke. I love getting dressed in the dark. It's become a thing. I got to have coffee, and I love waking everyone up in the morning on 97.1.
What time do you have to get up?
I used to have to get up at 3:45. I recently moved from the north to the Summerlin area.
Okay.
And by the way, people in Summerlin, you people are amazing. Love you people. Awesome people in Summerlin.
What do you like about Summerlin?
Well, I used to be, oh, everyone there is snotty. And that was our joke. And who was the best neighborhood in town? All of our neighbors have come over. I had a neighbor bake brownies. We've been there for 6 days for the love of baby Jesus. I mean, my God. And everyone's awesome there. And I love it. And now I get up about 4:15 because I'm 10 minutes from the station.
What is a social life like when you have to get up that early?
I'm an energizer bunny. But as I get older, I have a 5 and a 6-year-old, things are a little bit different. So, and I love that they do when they do shows. Like tomorrow night, a big night, right? We got the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, big night.
A lot of openings. Pools are opening up here in town. Big opening of the long-awaited Palms tomorrow night. Chaos.
That is going to be interesting. My wife and I, by the way, it's my wife's birthday. Happy birthday to my wife, which I'm thrilled about. And when I look at what's happening in this town, you get a lot of information because you do a lot of promotions in the morning. From the Hard Rock going to become Virgin, what's happening at the Palms and stations, all of the downtown work with Derek Stevens and what's happening
there. That guy.
How exciting is it to know that every week there's like 30 or 40 things happening and you got to decide what you're going to do?
I love doing that. That's something that keeps the Vegas alive. And I love that we get to go out and do remotes. You're blessed to be this too because you've been on the radio here. We get to go out and you're doing the sports broadcast. We get to go out and do different things. And I love talking to people, to the listeners, and seeing what they do or what they like or what they're going on because then I'm like, oh, I'm going to try that and bring it to them because not everybody can do everything all the time. Just like you said, 30 or 40 things going on.
You've done Monday Night Football remotes, Thursday night, Sunday night. What's the best night for an NFL remote?
Can beat Thursday Kansas City Raider game in the zero time on the clock.
Yes.
And it went into like 30 more minutes of play, right? We opened up every bar at Aliante Station. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I was like, buy everybody rounds. We had the Raiders swinging from the Raptors.
That was a crazy game. The 0-10 and the win there. Okay, finally, we're going to have you in here every couple of weeks wherever you want to come in.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on the spot. When do the Raiders make the playoffs?
When?
What year? Stadium comes next year here to Vegas, but they got a completely different team. And when do you expect the Raiders to win the Super Bowl? Because Mark Davis, he'll want to get to the Super Bowl, but he wants to win the Super Bowl.
Can I give you my dream?
Give me your dream.
My dream, of course, would be right when they come in here, the inaugural season, to follow up what the Vegas Golden Knights did. That would be just amazing, right?
Right.
I'm going to cry. I will cry.
It would be incredible because there's enough good players on the team that they're going to be expected to be a playoff team when the stadium opens.
Something about myself, and I think you're a little like this too. When's your birthday?
November 23rd.
So you're a little chaos, craziness. Like you like a little mystery sometimes.
Sagittarius.
Right? I'm a Gemini, so I can go from they say nice to bitch quick, but I say nice to nicer.
Okay.
I like the element of surprise, the craziness of what everyone's saying right now. What's Gruden going to do? What are the Raiders doing? Why did they do that? Remember the whole Mac thing? Everyone's like, freaking out, right? Everyone calling me up. What's going on? I'm like, well, let me call Gruden and ask him. I don't know. I mean, come on. Believe in your team, right?
Right.
I believe you believe.
Stand behind your
team. I'm excited. I hope the first season. If not, I would say second or third.
Yeah, I think that is fair because when the Vegas Golden Knights came here, I didn't think they'd make the playoffs for 3 years. I thought they'd maybe make it year four. And then when I watched them play, and I'm dead serious because Bobby will tell you this, the first 10 games I watched them play and the first two that I was in the building, I said playoff team. I couldn't believe their chemistry. That was it. I didn't know if they were going to be a great team, but I watched them pass behind their backs. Someone's there. I watched Fleury. I said, this is crazy. And then I looked at the depth of all their lines, and I said, they're going to get to the playoffs this year. That's it. I don't know how far they're going to go. Then when they got to the playoffs, it was kind of Stanley Cup or bust because they were that good. Now I'm sensing that this team will want to win a Stanley Cup over the next 2 to 3 years because they got the taste of the Cup final already.
Well, and not just that, but they have a community behind them. And this is where I'm going to put in my 2 cents for our community. Stay alive. Don't turn your backs. Let's stay alive and keep in the game. And I'm excited next time we meet that we get to talk about the Aviators.
What's your connection with you and Bobby and Aerosmith and all this Aerosmith history and rock and roll?
Aerosmith Saturday night, by the way. I love a media night on a Saturday night.
Now, wait a second. I'm in the media. What is this? I'm in the media. I get credentials. How do I get into this Aerosmith
We're
going
to have to introduce you to people.
Yeah, I need help with that.
We got to get your people to meet the right people, dude.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
On Monday.
You're going on Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll give you an Aerosmith review. We got Aviators. Go A's, right? And lots of love and Raider Nation for life.
You're the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Steph McKenzie, when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll tell you who won the tickets. We gave away two tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights. Steph made the decision, and she'll tell you, I'll tell you who's going to win next. So stick around to find out who won the Vegas Golden Knight tickets. And then tomorrow, I'll be broadcasting from inside the fortress from Dan Duva's perch. Really excited about that.
Well, folks, time to call a night.
Drink up, the world's about to end.
Time now for the nightcap.
Well, last orders, please.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So till next time.
Good night, everybody.
With the look ahead to tonight's action, here's JT the Brick.
Wrapping it up, JT, what we're going to do with the nightcap, what we're going to do this time of night is either wrap it up, get you up on the radio one more time if you want to call in, 876-1340. I used to call it Speed Brick. Last segment, I like to end with more energy than we started. It's a different group of listeners now on driving home than they were an hour ago. So if you want to get into the show, 876-1340. Thanks to Steph McKenzie who came in. It's interesting, when I've been doing nights most of my career. I did late nights, overnights, and mostly for 10 years, 7 to 11 p.m. So you don't get a chance to see the morning people, the people who do the morning show ever. And Steph is great since I moved back here, and she has a big show. And she's a real Raider fan. I mean, there are real Raider fans, and there are diehard Raider fans. She's that. And we're going to see this rebirth of the Raiders globally, because they're already a global brand, but the amount of new fans that they're going to get in the state of Nevada and out west, all the way from New Mexico, Arizona, all the fans that are already in California. And we talked about this off the air. What's going to be unique for me, watching the non-Raider fans go to the games and kind of be more than neutral. They're going to want the Raiders to do well because the Raiders are part of this community, but it's different than hockey. I don't want to see Kansas City Chiefs fans become Raider fans. I don't mind if they go to the game. And I'm not talking the Kansas City game. If they're in town and they're at the Raider game because they live in Vegas, fine. I hope you don't wear, you don't have to be that guy wearing your Kansas City Chiefs jersey and the hat. You don't have to be that guy to Raider home game. But they're going to be funding this. The tourists that are coming in here, there's going to be a lot of excitement for this team. Golden Knights had it differently because they were expansion. But the Raiders have a much bigger global fan base. The size of the Raider Nation is as big as the entire, probably a third of the NHL. If you look at a third of the NHL, the global Raider Nation is bigger than that. So the Raider base is bigger than some sports leagues. And I'm going to be interested to see how many fans who are not Raider fans yet or neutral because they lived in Nevada their whole life are going to say, I'm jumping in. Because, Bobby, you're a Patriot fan. You're a diehard Patriot fan. But you're not an angry anti-Raider guy.
Of course not.
You'd
no.
like to see the Raiders do well unless they're playing the Patriots.
Absolutely. I mean, they're going to be my hometown team. And if with any luck we're running the games, I'm going to be making money off that. So, yeah, go Raiders.
Yeah, you're the type of guy that you look at as a business.
Absolutely.
And you're going to look at the whole picture here. A couple of things we got to get into before we get out of here. 876-1340, Twitter at JT the Brick. Yankees lose again. I mean, are you kidding me? Yankees open up their first 9 games, 6 against the Orioles, 3 against the Tigers. They're 2-4. And these games are at home. They can't win in the Bronx.
Dude, I just got shut out by the A's 2 games in a row.
Yeah, Red Sox off to a terrible start. Some of the finals today, Rockies over the Rays, 1-0 the final. Twins over the Royals, 7-6. Padres are 4-3. They beat the Diamondbacks 4-1 in that game. And the Blue Jays over the Orioles, 5-3 the final. The Red Sox still on the West Coast. They take on the A's tonight. Eovaldi's up against Estrada. The Giants or at the Dodgers. The Giants are 2-4. The Dodgers are 4-2. That'll be a fun game to watch. I'm going to catch a little bit of that game tonight from the Giants broadcast because you can't get the Dodger feed. Another year where they can't figure out how to, 6 years that is, 6 years that you can't get a Dodger game other than the national games.
Not only that, there's six teams that we're being blacked out from here.
I talk to Koken about that all the time. It's incredible that will happen. NBA, last night was the great night in the NBA. Russell Westbrook was incredible. Westbrook had 20, 20, and 21 last night. One of the greatest individual achievements in the history of the NBA. Only Wilt Chamberlain is the only other player to have a 20-20-20 game. Russell Westbrook did that. He wanted to stay on the court late in the game because of the death of Nipsey Hussle, who was gunned down in L.A. He knew him well. He was highly emotional. He didn't want to come out of the game. He wanted to set the milestone.
Russell's done it. He gathers his 20th rebound. 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 21 assists for the Force. Playing to the crowd, pounding his chest, and getting a standing ovation at Chesapeake Arena.
OKC Radio. Now, that typically wouldn't happen ever, because that would have been running up the score and padding your stats. But because his friend was gunned down in L.A., Billy Donovan knew not to take him out of the game. He wanted to go out there and do that. Tonight's a light night in the NBA. Really, there aren't many games that matter. Hawks are on top of the 76ers, 72-68 at the half. Raptors on top of the Nets, 57-50. Good game. Celtics and the Heat go to halftime, 53-49. The Celtics. Hornets and the Pelicans. Hornets are on top, 42-37, and just underway. The Wolves and the Mavericks. Spurs play the Nuggets tonight. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, the Nuggets had nothing, absolutely nothing last night. The Warriors, even with Kevin Durant getting thrown out of the game, Boogie Cousins was electric. And the Nuggets, who were coming into that game 51-25, really wanted that game, and they were not competitive against the Warriors. And they're the two seed in the West. They were the two seed. So Cousins really could be the X factor for the Warriors extending this dynasty.
Iguodala backs in, rotates out, Cousins open. It's a three ball, and it's money. Cold, hard cash.
And one other story before we get out of here, one or two. Robert Kraft, Bobby Kraft. I heard Ed Graney and Clay talking about this morning. The owner of the Patriots, who was caught under video surveillance at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa on the day of the AFC Championship game, going in for what we know he went in for, is still fighting it. We find out today, hours ago, that attorneys for Robert Kraft went after and they're attacking this Florida police investigation over the charge that he paid for sex at this massage parlor, saying that the police officers violated the U.S. and state constitutions and used tactics normally received and reserved for serious crimes rather than low-level offenses. So basically, here's the defense for Robert Kraft. I'm a billionaire. I want this to go away. I'm a billionaire. You know what I did. I know what I did. I don't want to be embarrassed anymore. How can we get this to go away? Well, Palm Beach and Jupiter are saying, no, 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 you don't get it. We busted several of these massage parlors, and we busted several men who were paying for massages, and a couple of them we can prove were connected to human trafficking. So Robert Kraft didn't go in there for human trafficking. He didn't go in there to harm anyone. We all know why he went in. But Robert Kraft doesn't want to be associated, Bobby, with sex trafficking or human trafficking. He just wants this to go away.
And the punchline is they offered him a plea deal where he could have just walked away, no problem. No, he's going to go back and fight this.
Well, I don't know if he could take a plea deal because he's a billionaire and he's an owner of a team. So if he does take a plea, he's admitting that he would have lost in a court of law. And he doesn't want to do that because then the owners, and remember, there are five female owners now, I believe, five or six. And the female owners are going to have to come down really hard on him for what's happening here. And we've talked about this. I've talked about it on the other show I host. I think Kraft's going to get probably a six-game suspension. Now, he's not a player. He doesn't play. But he's not going to be allowed at his stadium on the footprint of his Hall of Fame and stadium. The other thing this is going to do for Robert Kraft, it's also going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame for a year or two. And when you get in your late 70s and you get near 80, you don't want to wait another year for anything, for a driver's license, for a loan. You don't want to wait for anything. And Robert Kraft is going to have to possibly wait another year. If you're joining us late, the Raiders made another move. They went and signed Ryan Grant. He's another wide receiver that comes in from the Indianapolis Colts. Pretty good player. He had an ankle injury last year, so he struggled last year, but he's only 28 years old. So the ankle injury last year diminished his role on what was a pretty good offense overall. So the Raiders now have Tyrell Williams, Antonio Brown, and then they have Grant as the third wide receiver. That's not bad. A lot of people believe that they're going to be able to go out and possibly get another, I think, tight end in the draft in one of those picks. And finally, we leave you with Gerard Gallant and his comments coming into the game. This is a big deal for him. The series against San Jose is coming up, and it's the elephant in the room as Arizona will be the game tomorrow night at the Fortress, but the media is talking about the matchup with the Sharks.
It's different. Obviously, we had the battle this year, and we had some ups and downs during the season. But no, I think our team's a confident group. They're going to go into the playoffs, and know we're facing a great team, so it's going to be a battle. Doesn't matter who you're going to face, it's going to be a battle, but it's going to be San Jose, and we know that team. They know us real well. We played them a lot. So I think we're confident, but I think we're smart enough to know that if we don't play our best game, we're not going to win.
All right, Nick Wortham won the tickets. Nick Wortham, W-O-R-T-H-A-M, the best call we got. You have two tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow night. We'll call you, get you down here to the studio so we can get it going. So tomorrow, I'll be there early. We'll be on the air from 4 to 6:30. Gary Lawless is going to join us. They're telling us that they're either going to get us George McPhee or a player, as we'll be there in the booth. We're also going to have Lee Hacksaw Hamilton join us, Johnny Katz from the Review Journal, Tony Sanchez, the head football coach of UNLV, as we get ready for the spring game, which my family and I are going to this weekend. I don't remember the last time I've been to a spring game. I went to a UCLA spring game. It had to be 20 years ago. So I'm excited for not only Coach O and what they're doing, as they're already signing players for Rebels, the running Rebels. And I like what Tony Sanchez is doing, because we pull for everybody here in town. I pull for Marvin Menzies. Got to reach out to him and text him and wish him nothing but the best. Thanks again, Bobby. Thanks to Steph McKenzie, Russell Baxter, Lee Sterling, and Joe Lisi, who all joined us. It's my wife's birthday. We're going to go out. My wife and my son celebrate her birthday. Best thing that ever happened to us, all three of us, and four of us, a dog. I have a male dog. We're all lucky to have a great mom and a great wife. And then tomorrow, we'll be at the Fortress. Hope to see you down there for what will be an epic celebration as we get you ready for the postseason. JT the Brick Show, the Las Vegas Sports Network.